Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the T-Bone Speaks Dentistry Podcast. This week, we have a new type of format for you. Remember I talked to you about doing a few different formats, some with just me and Chuck, some with an expert interview, and then some where I'm doing some coaching or mentoring of other dentists. Recently, we had Dr. Kyle McKinney here at our office taking some courses with 3D dentists and the implant pathway. And we had a chance and an opportunity to sit down during dinner and just talk about practice. Dr. Kyle McKinney of Hickory, North Carolina, recently purchased a practice. And we talked about whether or not to bring in an associate, how to add new procedures, how to maintain and flourish team members that have been there for a long period of time, and how to manage overall growth and how to try to increase new patient flow. I really think that you're going to love this episode. I loved it myself doing it. And that's where we come to my ask of you. I would love to try to do an episode like this every single month. And here's what it takes. I need you to visit www.tbonespeaks.com and click the Ask T-Bone button, where you can submit your question and then hopefully get chosen for us to do either in-person coaching call, or if you happen to be here, or one over the web using video and audio technology. So I hope you like the episode, and we'll be right back after this brief message.
Welcome to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal, where our goal is to change the way you practice dentistry by helping you achieve clinical, financial, and personal balance. Now, here's your host, T-Bone.
What's up, Kyle?
Oh, not much. I mean, I was trying to ask you questions about the pool, and then
let's come in here.
Next thing I know, I'm on the helping you break in the new studio.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's nice in here.
Yeah, right. Well, hopefully now you'll answer my questions.
That's what I want to do. I didn't want to give away all the good stuff not record it, because then somebody else, you know, the question we were talking about is so common with everybody else.
Right.
So talk to me again. So what's on your mind?
Well, so what I was asking you was, you know, I just acquired a practice in the fall. It's going really well. I mean, the numbers are heading the direction they need to. And looking at what you were talking about, going from a practice model to a business model.
Okay.
What are those key performance indicators I need to hit, the key factors for numbers, new patients, to start saying, hey, I'm ready to go to a business model, bring in that associate and continue to grow?
You know, just so everybody knows, I'm with Kyle McKinney in Hickory. Are you actually in Hickory, or is that Conover?
No, Hickory, North Carolina.
It's in Hickory, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Conover is just what, next door?
Yes, next door, yeah. So you're in the general ballpark.
Yeah, and then there's Rock Barn.
Yeah, the golf's good at Rock Barn. Yeah,
that's they have two courses there, right?
They do. Yeah, Jones and
they still play the senior tour.
No,
there?
We lost that.
Okay,
no, we messed that up. We had that every year, but maybe we'll get it back.
Possibly, yeah. But that was that's in Conover, I think, right?
Yeah, it's right there.
And really, the question you're asking is, when am I ready for an associate?
Right.
And if I'm ready, so you know, you've had this practice what, 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'd say right now is probably not the perfect timing. Right now, you're trying to get your bearings straight. Trying to figure out where you stand in the practice, make sure that you maintain things.
Absolutely.
So I would say certainly it's not on your radar in a short term,
perspective, but from a long-term perspective, it should be on your radar because you shared your numbers with me. Mm-hmm. And economically, I always look at it as, and I want to go through it from a couple of angles. Economically, I think a practice should start thinking about an associate at about $800,000-$900,000, mm-hmm. get serious about an associate at $1 million, $1.1 million, and definitely needing an associate at about $1.2 million.
Okay.
Generally speaking, from a pure numbers perspective.
Right.
Now that can go up or down based on the business model or practice model you have. Mm-hmm. So if it's a heavy PPO based practice model, then those numbers can be a little bit lower because you're gonna get a lot of patient flow mm-hmm. through there. If it's a fee for service business model where it's a lower patient flow and the patients are really looking for that relationship, which is similar to what you have.
Yeah, that's what I acquired.
So like, then the numbers may be higher there, okay?
Because the back door, I feel like the patient retention has been great.
Very good, yeah.
And so the doctor that I bought it from was able to keep the back door closed, so new patient flow was minimal, and I'm still kind of riding that wave, and you know, patients have been really receptive, but I mean, do I need to just make sure I get through the first 12 months, 18 months, and that I'm sustaining wave?
Yeah, maybe 12 to 24 months of make sure that you're sustaining everything, and then starting to implement a plan of action of what it would take to bring in an associate. Mm-hmm. So let's come back to that for a second, okay? Yeah. So the second way that I look at wanting or needing an associate is a lifestyle base, mm-hmm. okay? So some people, for example, they want to take 8, 10, 12 weeks off a year. They're not driven so much by necessarily the money perspective. They want to maintain a living. They may not want to increase their income, but they want to maintain a living. Or sometimes people are even willing to take a little bit of a step back economically to be able to buy some more time. Mm-hmm. So that's a person that may need to bring in an associate from that perspective. 1 day, 2 day, 3 days, even 4 days a week. Just from a lifestyle perspective,
right.
Okay? So you see the difference from a economics perspective, mm-hmm. a lifestyle perspective. And then the third thing I look at, and this is kind of where I fell into, mm-hmm. was I looked at it from a procedural perspective, okay? So I wanted to expand our skill set in the practice. I wanted to be able to devote more time to sleep apnea. I wanted to devote more time to implants. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be able to devote more time to complex restorative care. Some of the things that I've taken so much CE over the last 15 years of my career in doing those things. So I wanted to devote more time to that, but doing the everyday general dentistry, doing all the hygiene checks, right. doing all of those things started getting in the way. So I was willing to maybe put the bill for my first associate, okay, mm-hmm. give up some of the things off my schedule, take maybe a little bit of a haircut, knowing that I will fill it with other things 3 months, 6 months down the road, or shorter, or maybe a little bit longer, depending on how you do it. But I had a plan in place of how am I going to attract more of those patients? Mm-hmm. How am I going to fill those in? And then I also took a time off from my practice. In other words, I went from 4 days a week to 3 days a week. To be able to help fill my associate in the beginning. So there's three perspectives.
Yeah.
One is the economic perspective. In other words, a pure business. Mm-hmm. Two is a lifestyle perspective. In other words, am I willing to take less, make the same? Do I want more time off, but I want my practice working? Mm-hmm. And then the three is the procedural base. So like you're here at an implant class, right?
Yeah.
So you want to add implants to your mm-hmm. practice. So my first question to you would be is, when are you going to add these in? Let's pretend suddenly every patient that you present implants to says yes.
Right.
Well, where are you going to put them?
Well, I mean, you know, the plan is to start implementing it immediately.
Is your schedule booked out?
So, well, yeah, I mean, I'm booked out about 4 weeks.
Okay, so I come in tomorrow and I need an implant. Where are you going to put me?
Oh, I guess right now I don't have a spot for you.
Right. So to me, those are part of the things that we look at. I'm not saying go get an associate because of that.
Right.
But I'm saying these are the things I'm looking at. Mm-hmm. So in other words, what's happening is you're saying, when you say yes to something, mm-hmm. you're saying no to something else. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when you say yes to that filling for your patient, now you're saying no to a potential, if I walk in pain and need a root canal and crown, mm-hmm. what are you gonna tell me, to wait 4 weeks?
Well, I mean, I hope not. I mean, pain patients, I try to always get something done.
Okay, right, we all do that, right?
Yeah.
But now what we're gonna do is we're gonna disrupt our schedule.
Yeah.
We're going to make our team work through lunch. We're
right.
going to have our team come in early. We're going to have our team stay late.
Yeah.
We're going to create some lifestyle disruptions there, okay? So I'm not saying that we should change those things or we should ignore those patients.
Yeah.
I'm saying these are the things that enter my mind. Mm-hmm. So when I hear from someone, okay, that, hey, I'm booked out 3, 4, 5 weeks and I have a skill set or I'm trying to implement a skill set that will add patients to my practice or procedures to my practice, I start worrying about the feasibility of that because there's nowhere to put them. Okay, the only option you have right now is to work more days,
right?
Which in the short run, maybe that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Okay, it may not be a bad idea.
The team wouldn't necessarily like that.
Listen, at the end of the day, if you do a boutique practice on 1 day a week,
right?
Okay, a niche practice, like let's say you don't work Fridays.
No, not right now.
Okay, so if I came in on Friday, I would only need one assistant.
Yeah.
Right. So you could probably get your one assistant to work one Friday a month or two Fridays a month. So that brings me on another topic. So here's my piece of advice to you because you're coming to implement implants into your practice through the Implant Pathway Program with Justin is what I would do in the beginning is I would set aside a day a month where all I do is actually do the work on my implant patients. You can diagnose them and do all of that during the week in your regular busy flow, but make this the special day. And what that allows
should
you
to do. Should I make that on a Friday?
Well,
or on that, or just pick, tell the front team, say, hey, we're going to start implementing this. Yeah. This is the day I'm shooting for.
I would probably choose a Friday because that way you don't have hygiene.
Yeah.
But what the last thing you want to do in the beginning is when you're starting to do your implant journey, now you got to get up, go do a hygiene check or two hygiene checks.
Yeah.
Okay. So I always, when I started, for example, the first thing I implemented outside of traditional general dentistry was sedation. Okay, so I made sedations at that time, Friday afternoons or Saturday mornings. And that's when I would do sedation. And then what happened is as I got more comfortable, as we got our workflow down, then we were able to move it back into our regular schedule. And then the next thing I learned was endo. Okay, once I started implementing endo, you know, I wasn't comfortable with the files. I didn't know my time. I didn't know all of those things. I wanted to just be able to concentrate on it. Then I started doing endo on Friday mornings. And then we started bringing it back into the regular schedule. Okay. And then as we did implants, as we did ortho, as we did some of these things, I always use my Fridays as that implementation day and then moved it back into the regular schedule. So that way you could have your day of being able to really focus on it. And your patients think it's a special thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, Mrs. Jones, this is a case, we're going to do it dedicated to you. I'm going to make sure we don't have any distractions so I can be solely focused on you. And your patients will love it.
Right.
You know, and that'll give you a chance to get comfortable with the procedure.
So then does that fuel, that's how I can start bringing these other procedures into the into the booked out practice.
Right.
And then find that workflow for how do we fit it in with the everyday schedule.
That's correct.
To not get it immediately.
Right.
And then you're saying once I have the procedural mix in addition to the numbers, then that's when the associate comes in and takes care of those day-to-day things. And I can effectively kind of cut down my total hours in the practice, but have that business.
So let's
model.
let's use some fake numbers here.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you don't mind, give us a fake number of what your daily goal is in production on a normal Monday through Thursday.
Would be seven.
$7,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's say you get a Friday, okay, and you start booking out your one Friday per month, okay, and you start booking out $7,000, okay. What I would say is now you can afford an associate 1 day a month. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So now you're going to take that Friday back, and you're going to make that Friday your Monday, and an associate would work Mondays.
Okay.
Okay. And so that's how I look at that, right? And then say you grow that Friday to every other week, then you can afford an associate 1 day every other week. I'm not saying that's how you bring them in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying the mentality of how you think about that.
Right.
Okay. And then, you know, what'll happen is you start implementing a plan of slightly growing the practice externally, internally asking for referrals, things to pump the new patient flow up. And then you're in a much better position to be able to afford them. A little bit more often. Like, I believe
Is there a new patient flow that you, because I know now you have two associates. So
yeah.
What was that number? What was the new patient? I mean, I know you had the procedural mix in your pocket to kind of narrow in on. And then, but what were those other numbers?
Our new patient flow hasn't changed in the last 2-3 years. It's been, we're roughly in the 30 to 38 ballpark per month. Okay. We're a PPO practice. Mm-hmm. We take insurance.
Yeah.
So we're a little bit of a unicorn. Okay, and here's why I say that. We're supporting 2.5 doctors right now with two hygienists. Okay, so most practices don't kind of operate in that manner. So we're able to do that by focusing myself on a certain level of type of procedures that we're doing to show up on my schedule.
Are your associates, are they working towards doing those same procedures that you're doing as well? Or are they?
Right now, what I've always said to them is right now you need to own your own something, right?
Yeah.
So maybe like, for example, with Dr. Leedy, he's owning orthodontics. He's gonna own infant phrenectomies. Okay, so when he owns that, so certainly implants, all the things are open to them.
You guys are doing infant phrenectomies.
Infant
now.
Phrenectomies.
When did that start?
Probably about 3-4 months ago.
Just with a laser?
Yeah, with a hard tissue and a soft tissue laser. Yeah.
How did you have? Where are you marketing that?
To mommy clubs or like to lactation consultants.
Yeah. How's that been for him?
Good. I mean, I don't know how much he loves it.
Yeah.
But it's not a bad gig to show up on Monday, do 2, 3, 4 patients, and that's your production for the day.
What's that appointment like for him?
10 minutes. Yeah. 5 minutes. You know, we have a team member that does all the setting up, talking to the mommy, doing all of that. Literally, he walks in, introduces himself.
Yeah.
And he spends, literally the procedure itself is 1 minute, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And then he's able to, you know, say hello, do all the, you know, standard stuff, and then get out of there.
What laser are you using?
So we're using a diode by AMD and a erbium YAG by AMD as well. So, But see, these are things, like, see your head spinning, right?
Yeah.
So to me, the easiest and quickest and best way to afford an associate is to do procedures so that way you can give away.
Right.
Because look, it's hard to play. So now we're on a soapbox here, okay? So what I've seen more dentists do in my generation, and you're the generation behind me, okay? But what I've seen more dentists do in my generation is say, I'm gonna bring in an associate like you and let them bring in the implants and all of these things. And what happens, that person leaves after a year or 2 years, or it's not the right fit.
Yeah.
And we've invested all this money in the material, the equipment, the education, all of those things. And we start those cases and then we stop those cases.
Mm-hmm.
I take a totally different approach. My approach is, as the owner or the senior doc, I'm gonna do those procedures.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna peel off the thing. So it's easier to find an associate dentist that can do restorative crown and bridge dentistry versus finding an associate dentist that can do the level of implant work that we're doing or things like that, right?
Absolutely.
So to me, it's much easier to peel those things off and allow me to take what I call the juicy procedures.
Yeah.
So in case people are worried about the noise that we have, it's the golf simulator.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what they're hitting over there.
Yeah. So what else is on your mind?
One thing too is the associate pay structure. So say
I've
kind of started to narrow in on those things. Like I got the high end pieces to my practice. I know what I want to do, what I can allow them to do and afford to do. How do you get them to stay with, say, here's the pay, or is there the eventual, the buy in or piece of the practice, that thing to hold on to that good associate that'll stay and do infant phrenectomies for you?
Well, it's up to him. I'm not forcing him. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, look, I'm coming to this like 4 years into having multiple associates.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's what I'll say is, in the beginning, I designed things around finding the right associate, around the associate, and I designed what I was willing to accept and do around that. And today what I do is I design it the opposite way. I say, what fits within what I want? Okay, I call it the you-centered practice, Y-O-U. And so now I design what is it that I see as the ideal associate? And then I paint that box and I try to find somebody that fits within that box, okay? So from that perspective, that's what I look at. So what's on the table? Number one, my associate gets paid the same way I get paid, okay? So one of the things I would encourage you to do is start paying yourself like an associate.
Right.
Okay, so pay yourself
30% of collection.
That's what you get.
Right.
And then you as a business owner get the profits too.
Okay.
So my associates get paid the exact same way I get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we are on the same pay structure. 30% of collections, of personal collections.
But your associate pay is while we're in your personal studio, right?
No, I think, no, that's it. Listen, I want to talk about that actually, okay? Because I don't really talk a lot about, let's come back to that.
Okay.
Make sure you bring me back to that, okay?
Yeah.
So pay yourself as an associate.
Okay.
Make the money for the risk you've taken, because you paid a lot of money for your practice.
Right, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So that level of risk, that note deserves a return.
Yeah.
Okay? So I firmly believe that you pay all associates some level of a minimum guarantee, 400, 500, 600, whatever that number is per day, you know, and then you go from there, right? And then I pay them 30%, and then they, that's, and then they say, well, I want more. I said, I get, that's what I get paid.
Right.
So, I mean, how can you argue with me?
Yeah, they can't, yeah.
That I get paid that. Yeah. They go, well, you make profits. I said, no problem. You're welcome to buy in.
Right.
Right, and most of them are like, well, I'm not ready for
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
no
ready
problem.
For that take. Yeah.
Yeah, then you, when that come time comes.
Yeah.
So what I've decided at this stage of my life, okay, and probably a year or 2 years from now it'll change, but at this stage of my life, right now at age 42, I'm not willing to be a 50-50 partner with anybody. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to be either a vast majority owner, okay, 75-80% owner, or a vast minority owner. Okay, that's what I'm willing to be. Mm-hmm. So if you came to me and said, Kyle, listen, you said, T-Bone, listen, I'd love to work with you, but I need to be able to be 50-50 partner in a couple of years, I'd probably be honest with you and say, Kyle, listen, this would be a great place for you. We'd love to have you.
Yeah.
But partnership's on the table, but a 50-50 partnership is not.
Yeah.
Okay. And if that's a deal breaker for you, it's a deal breaker for me.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's a tough marriage to make
is.
Happen.
You know, and I've learned that in a difficult way
yeah.
as well. So, yeah. So
well, and then I guess to kind of take a pivot, you know, we are here for the implant course,
yeah.
just for me, which was, you know, day one's been great, and I'm looking yeah. forward to this, and I'm signed up for the surgery, and so I do plan on implementing this as quickly as I can with,
yeah.
with this, maybe with the steps that you mentioned too. What was your implant education like? Yeah. What do you think is a good next step after I get this? Is my core if I can't talk after the. Core
after the Indian food
course yeah after the yeah. Indian food yeah it's gonna be a long night after getting this course done. I mean, what do you think is a good next step? Is it a maxi course? Is it
no, I don't think so. So not yet.
Yeah,
let me back up on that. Not yet.
Yeah,
your journey should always continue. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you've made an unbelievably wise investment in your beginner journey.
Mm-hmm.
Your beginner journey is it's very fine-tuned. It's really focused on the onesie twosies.
Right.
Okay. You're getting the didactic portion. You're getting some hands-on portion with the pig jaws, the styrofoam jaws, mm-hmm. all that stuff. And then what's really important is you're getting the hands-on live patient portion mm-hmm. With Justin and Phoenix. Okay. So you're ahead of the curve with me. Okay. So you're far ahead of the curve with me. Okay. So what I would say to you, your next step, knowing your practice, because you have a CEREC, you have
right.
a cone beam,
yeah.
to me, the next step for you would be learning how to use your technology within
yeah.
the implant world.
Yeah.
Okay, so focus on the onesies, mm-hmm. the posterior teeth. Focus on the single unit anterior teeth. Focus on what 80% of your practice will be. Mm-hmm. 80% of your practice are going to be the one or two missing teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then when you get really comfortable with that, when you get that dialed in, then start moving forward to immediate placement.
Right.
Okay. Maybe immediate placement happens sooner than you think.
Has your guided workflow stayed all within Sirona? Or you,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's not yeah. Correct. So I define my guided workflow in two ways. I have my onesie, twosie, threesies case
mm-hmm.
that stays completely in the Sirona workflow.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have my full arch workflow.
Okay.
And my full arch workflow goes to a laboratory.
Okay.
Okay. To a third party laboratory.
So you're not 3D printing guides in house or anything like that.
I have very, very strong opinions on that. It works.
Yeah.
Okay. It is the future.
Should I return my 3D printer?
No, I have one.
Yeah.
And $3,000-$5,000.
Yeah.
It's not a big
much.
Deal. Okay.
Yeah.
Isn't that sad, by the way, that we've come to the point where $3,000-$5,000?
Yeah.
At the end, isn't like, that, isn't much? That
yeah.
much?
It should be a lot, but
it is a
compared
lot,
to
right?
the practice purchases.
Yeah.
Like,
so, yeah, I think 3D printing is here. It is the future. It may even be the present.
Right.
My issue right now with 3D printing is you can hire somebody, a laboratory, to do that for you at a reasonable margin.
Yeah.
You know, well, your time is yeah. worth more than that.
But when you look at, like, say, like a Simplant,
yeah.
I mean, they want like $295, $390 for some
for a $4,000 procedure?
Yeah. But still, when you can print it for $2.
What is your time worth?
I mean, I guess to be fair, I don't know how long it takes to.
Let's call it. Let's call it. Let's call it 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family, T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
What's your time worth for 30 minutes?
Well, I mean, right at that $300.
So what you're telling me already is you're willing to lose money.
Right. Yeah.
Right. If I can get somebody to make it for $250 and my time's worth $300, well, that doesn't make any sense to me.
It's true.
Now, I'm not saying we won't get there when things get more streamlined. Okay. Mm-hmm. When things get more integrated.
Yeah.
Okay. But I firmly believe that smart practices, okay, will learn how to do those things because it satisfies an internal need, mm-hmm. but they'll probably actually never do it, okay, because you can send it to a lab.
Yeah.
You know, unless I need it same day.
Right.
Okay. To me, that's where all of these, all digital technologies for me are all about same day.
Yeah.
Same visit, same day dentistry.
Scan that morning, print it, see that afternoon.
See at lunch.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I would also say to you, you have the ability to mill a guide now.
Right.
What percentage of your cases are going to be more than one tooth? You can mill a guide in an hour.
I think I need to upgrade my motor. Though.
That's $1,500 to upgrade your motor.
Yeah. It is not teared up. That's the big argument I see.
Sure. So if it tears up the motor and you have to buy a new motor every 2-3 years, $1,500.
Yeah.
Is that that big of a deal?
No.
You see what I'm saying? When you think about it logically,
yeah.
I'm not saying that stuff isn't sexy and isn't cool and we shouldn't be doing that and it isn't the present and the future, okay? But what I believe is there's a cost of opportunity,
mm-hmm.
okay? You can spend your time learning how to save $100 or you can spend your time learning how to implement $4,000.
Mm-hmm.
Which one makes more sense?
Well, implementing the 4,000.
Of course,
yeah,
right?
Always.
So why go down that path?
Yeah.
In my opinion. Now I'm in a different situation. If I want to go down that path, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because quite frankly, I'm at a different stage than you are.
Well, I think I'm just following like the cool, sexy things to do in the Facebook groups. Follow the wave.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But when you have all your other goals in order,
mm-hmm.
then I think it's okay to do that.
Yeah.
So. All right, let's come back to one last thing.
Okay.
This wasn't as hard as you thought, was it?
No, it wasn't that bad.
Bright
lights in Hollywood and all
that. We haven't even looked at the lights.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. So we talked about my studio, and I know you're joking when you say that. Okay?
Yeah.
But one of the things that my listeners and video viewers and people on my social media friends and things is I don't ever really post pictures of my home or my cars or outside of my Tesla. I don't do a lot of that stuff because I don't think dentistry should be about the money that we make.
No, not
okay?
at all. Yeah.
And my situation is different from your situation.
Yeah.
My wife's a physician.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a side hustle.
Yeah.
Actually, I got a side hustle that's called my speaking and training.
Yeah.
I got a second side hustle that's called a hotel business.
I just started Ubering on the weekends.
So there you go, right? Yeah. You and Jason Lipscomb are Ubering. So it's unfair to say that, for me to say, you should do what I'm doing because of this.
Yeah.
Because of all of this isn't truly from just my practice.
Right. Yeah.
It's certainly a component of
it.
Okay. But so you know.
Your practice is the engine. There's been other investments and opportunities that led to.
My dad always told me that. I said, why should I be a dentist and not a business person? He goes, because dentists will produce the cash for you to be a business person.
Right.
And one other piece of advice for you. In the beginning, I would advise you against doing a lot of investments until you have significant excessive cash.
Mm-hmm.
I think the most important thing that you can invest in is you.
Right.
In the very beginning, my first 5 years in my practice, I put everything back into me.
Mm-hmm.
And it paid off in spades because what I learned and did those first 5 years, I'm will pay off for the rest of my career yeah. versus learning it middle or towards the end right. of my career. I only get this much time with it. So the earlier I can learn and the earlier I can implement, the longer I can get. Yeah.
No, I'm trying to be aggressive with those things, like yeah. bringing in the implants, and then I need to bring my team and do the sleep. Yeah. I did your sleep course yeah. once, but now that was as an associate.
Yeah.
So I got to get this but now team you have, on
now
board.
You can, yeah. Now you have leadership ability.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So there's those things, and I want to bring those things in appropriately and in a timely manner. But yeah, you're right. It's nice to get it done early in my career.
And knowing the technology that you purchased into, mm-hmm. I would tell you to master your technology. Mm-hmm. If you focus on all the things that technology, your CEREC and your cone mm-hmm. beam can do, you'll never have to, you'll be fine. Because quite frankly, and I'm just pointing these things out, okay?
Yeah.
Is you don't know the first thing about implants with your CEREC machine or cone beam.
Mm-mm.
Okay, you don't know the first thing about sleep with it. You don't know the first thing about bridges or cantilevers or, you know, all these quadrants with CEREC,
right.
all these things, right? And those are things that pay off immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, those are things that you'd learn and you put into practice right away. So those are some of the areas that I would encourage you to focus on, is really maximizing what you already have.
The technology, yeah.
What you already have, right?
Yeah.
You know, maximize, you know, focus right now on internal marketing. Because knowing the practice you purchased, there probably wasn't a lot of emphasis on that.
No.
Okay, so look at what's right under your nose, and figure out a way to visionary and leadership.
Yeah.
Those little things that can pay off for you, things that cost very little at the end of the day.
Right.
For you,
just
to do.
Some posters on the wall, just like
yeah, you saw. Yeah, take yeah. pictures of mine and
yeah,
put them up.
Yeah, the internal marketing,
yeah, subliminal,
the 5 square miles right around my front door. Absolutely.
Yeah, and not even that.
Yeah.
The 2,500 square feet
yeah.
right around you.
Yeah.
Right, because those patients, yeah, you know, I would encourage you to go back and, you know, just kind of ask your team members, when's the last time any of you told some of our other patients that we're willing to accept new patients right mm-hmm. now? And they probably
yeah.
haven't
yeah, you
in
get
five years.
Yeah, the practice, like I bought, I mean, it was viewed at full for a long time. So, I mean,
so now you have to retrain your team that we're not full anymore.
Yeah.
Okay, you have to paint the picture that, listen, this is where I want to get to 5 years from now. 2 years from now, 10 years from now. And to do that, the steps and things we put into place right now pay off. I didn't get where I was today overnight. Okay, it was 15 years of good decisions and some bad decisions. Okay, that got me to where I'm at today.
What were the three worst decisions you made?
Keeping team members too long.
Yeah.
Not getting an associate early enough. With the associate, my biggest regret on associates was trying to do it part-time economically,
mm-hmm.
I should have just gone all in
and
gone 4 days a week instead of going part-time to begin with. But that was my situation. I also had the ability to take time off because I was able to fill it with my side hustle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's a unique situation there. That's number two. And then number three is, to this day, I still don't do any digital marketing in my practice. No Facebook ads, no Google, no SEO, no real website to speak of.
So you're saying that's a mistake that you...
No, absolutely. Absolute mistake not being more involved in that.
Okay.
Like I asked one of my team members, what are all these hashtags for?
Yeah.
Like I do one hashtag in some of my things.
Yeah.
They're like, no, you got to have 20. I'm like, what is that all about?
Yeah, if Instagram's going to pay you, you have to have a ton of hashtags. Yeah.
So you know, that's those are some of the things that I regret.
Okay.
The biggest thing is, and this doesn't apply to you right now, okay? It's not about who you hire. It's about who you fire, okay? The number one mistake we make in practice, I shouldn't say the number one of the biggest mistakes we make in practice is keeping people around too long. It creates a ill will amongst other team members. It sets the bar, it lowers the bar of what you're willing to accept, and other people will go down to that bar.
Mm.
And to me, I've always struggled in that arena of letting people go because
it's a tough
conversation.
Attached to them. Yeah.
Especially for you, imagine, when's the last time have you ever fired
anybody?
No,
not yet. Yeah.
Right.
I'm scared to death about ever having to do that. Yeah.
And listen, I fired at least a dozen people in my life and I'm still afraid of doing it. You know, I shouldn't say afraid. It's still hard.
It's uncomfortable.
It's
yeah.
very uncomfortable
yeah.
because it's not just the person, it's their family, their kids.
Right.
I mean, they're all depending on that income. Right.
Absolutely.
You know, one of the things that I want to do, is I want to take a picture of my team because we always think of the people that are dependent on us. At the end of the day, my team jokes, like, I'm getting a little unhealthy. I'm not taking care of myself and things like that. And my team's like, listen, we need you around. I'm like, no, you don't. They're like, yeah, we do. You don't realize, because between me and my wife, we have 24 team members.
Okay.
Okay, between us both. Okay, and that means that we have 100 people that we affect.
Yeah.
Okay, because most of them are married.
Right.
Many of them have kids.
Yeah.
Right? So suddenly it's pretty quick that there's 80, 90, 100 people that are reliant on us. So I want to take a picture of what ultimately, as business owners, the impact we make in our community, and the impact we make and how many lives that we touch, not just in our patient base, but in those people that serve our patients every single day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good. Well, T-Bone, I've appreciated it, man.
Thanks so much for listening to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal. Remember to keep striving for excellence, and we'll catch you on the next episode.